We're going to talk for a few minutes tonight about five scriptural keys for walking the faith life and doing so in a sense of encouragement from God's Word. I don't know about you, but sometimes you just need a little bit of encouragement. Anybody else been feeling like that lately? Yeah, you get a little down, and we're at that point, I think, when we're officially exhausted, right? We made it through the quote-unquote holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and all that, and we kind of halfway recovered, but it's still winter and it's blah and bleh, and then all of a sudden Mardi Gras exhausts us, and here we are, and we're in Lent, and it's a penitential season. It's really not all that much of a feel-good season in the Christian church, but it's okay. We still have an opportunity for encouragement. And so I thought I would take the opportunity tonight to kind of bounce off of those beautiful scriptures that we had in our liturgy of the word and look at a few ways that we can continue our Lenten walk, but to do so through the encouraging word of God. And so, spoiler alert, you've got five key scriptures in front of you that I'll be going through tonight. They're in your insert. And I encourage you to take that home with you, and you might even want to cut this out and hang it up on the mirror and read it again tomorrow morning. Let the Word of God be planted down deep in you, because when you do that, you might not need it at the moment, but you're going to need that Word one day, and one day it'll be there to sprout up and bring you comfort. So let's talk about these different ways that we can walk. We've got five of them that I've chosen here. Number one, we have to remember that we walk with God. We walk with God. He's never leaving us alone. Look at what Deuteronomy 31:8 says. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are such important words, particularly when we're at our lowest points, when we're feeling like the world around us is just closing in and darkness is prevailing. The Lord will never leave us. He's with us even in those dark times. If you think about the very first book of the Bible in Genesis, Adam and Eve have an experience with God where they are basically tossed out of paradise. If you ever notice, the story doesn't end there. God doesn't leave them. God continues to communicate with them. And that's a beautiful lesson for us, that even in our imperfections, even in our sinful state, even though we try and we know we fail, we have a merciful God that we get to turn to, one who will never leave us. So we walk with God. It's important for us to remember that. We also have an opportunity to walk in joy. In Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, we hear, if we would have read a little further tonight, we would have gotten to these verses. Rejoice always. Walking in joy means rejoicing always, finding reasons to be rejoiceful. Rejoice always. What else does he say? Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we walk in joy, we find reasons to offer rejoicing. We find reasons in our prayer time to remember those things that we're thankful for. You want to really improve what's going on in your world? I would encourage you to do this simple little exercise just once a day, maybe before you go to bed at night. Start a journal and write down three things that day that you were thankful for. And the first night, it might be difficult. You might think, well, what was I thankful for today? Today was a horrible day. But I guarantee if you start searching it out, if you start looking for things that you were blessed with in a day, you're going to find more things every day to be blessed with. Be thankful in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances is what God tells us. Again, doesn't tell us that we have to be thankful for the circumstance, because sometimes our circumstances can be crummy. But in even the crummy circumstances, we can find reasons to be joyful and to offer thanksgiving to God. We are called to walk in joy. We're also called to walk in prayer. That's number three. Look at what Paul tells the church at Philippi. In the fourth chapter, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Paul tells a lot of the churches that same thing. We just heard that from 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And look what he says. I will say it again. You think he's trying to get the point across? That we are called to be in joy. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there it is again, present your request to God. In other words, we need to be in conversation with God. We need to be presenting our request to God, but we can do so rejoicing. When it is, when we find something we don't have that we think we need, we can rejoice that we have a God to go to ask him for it. We can rejoice and be thankful. We can, in thanksgiving, lay our worries and our anxieties aside. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer. Walking in prayer, we get to let the Lord know what it is that we need. Now, you say, but theologically, doesn't God already know that? Well, sure he does. He's omnipotent and omniscient and all those omnis. But God desires relationship with us. And so the key to walking in prayer is to be in relationship with God, to spend some time talking to him. And for some folks, that's easy. For other folks, they don't quite know how to do that. I don't know how to pray. And I would say that's okay. It's just a conversation. It's just like you're talking to someone else. Give that a try. Or I'm going to give you a resource. If you want something more structured, you might not remember this. I can write it down for you later if you want. There's a website called thetrinitymission.org, thetrinitymission.org. And they do daily prayer, morning prayer, noon prayer, evening prayer. And you can listen to it on your cell phone. You can listen to it online. And a great deal of the prayers that are offered each day, they change each day, are scriptural prayers. So you have an opportunity to pray scripture. And there's power in that. Let me tell you, when you are praying the word of the Lord, there is no way you can mess up. You're praying truth. You are relaying to God what God has relayed to you through his Holy Scripture. That's the conversation God wants you to be in. God wants to know that you know what his word says. And so you can pray his promises. In fact, that's why I encourage you to cut this out, paste it somewhere where you can read it each day. Because by praying these scriptures, you're having a conversation with yourself, but you're also having a conversation with the Almighty, because he's the one that ultimately is responsible for the words that are on this page from Holy Scripture. So we walk in prayer. Number four, we want to make sure we're walking with believers. Listen what Proverbs tells us, 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Another way of looking at that, you hang around fools, you're not going to be in good shape. You need to be making sure that you're walking with the wise, you're walking with other believers. Now, that is not an excuse not to be good apologist and good evangelist for the Lord. We are called to be a light to the world that is in darkness. So we need to make sure that we're always prepared, as Paul says, in season and out of season, to let people know what the good news is. But what this is really meaning is we need to make sure we're surrounding ourselves with the faithful believers, that when we have something that we need help with, we've got go-to folks. We've got a small group. We've got a collection of people that we know are firm believers in the gospel, and that we can go to them with something. This is the core group that we need to be making sure that we're around. Again, it's not an excuse not to go out into the world and to greet people where they are and to meet them and greet them with the gospel, but to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with other people who are believers. You know, back to the book of Genesis and another Adam analogy here. When you think about the creation story, on day one, God creates, right? He says, let there be light, and there's light. And what does God say? He says, it's good. And he keeps going. He keeps creating. Day two, he creates. He ends the day by saying, it is good. Day three, he creates. He ends the day saying, it's good. Day four, day five, he ends the day saying, it's good. Day six, he creates the pinnacle of his creation. He creates Adam. He says, not it's good. He says, it's very good. It's very good. But here's the kicker. The first time God says something isn't good is when he says, it's not good for man to be alone. And that's how we get the creation continuing through Eve. It's not good for us to be alone. We need to walk with fellow believers. God has ordained that. That's one of the main principles of that story of Adam and Eve, that we're in fellowship with one another. And then finally, number five, we need to make sure that we walk in assurance. We have the assurance of our salvation. That should be comforting for us, right? We need to remind ourselves that. Most of us have some verses of Scripture already memorized, and most of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. We need to walk in that assurance. But we have other promises of God that we can be praying to ourselves. And I think this Scripture from Jeremiah 29:11 is one of those beautiful ones. It's something you need to put down deep, 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 deep in your heart and your soul so that when you need it, it's there for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. See, God's plans for you are future-focused, and they are filled with hope. They are filled with prosperity. They're not filled with plans to harm you. It's the enemy who wishes to harm you, not God. So you need to make sure that that's what the kinds of scripture verses you're putting down deep in you, that you can walk in the assurance of God's most holy word and let it encourage you in your times of need, your times where you're feeling discouraged, or when you're helping another person who is feeling discouraged and feeling down. You can have some go-to scriptures to be able to help you through that. I pray that it blesses you, and I pray that in the name of the Blessed Trinity, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let all God's children receive it and say amen.
Amen.
Amen.